All right, this is The Undertaker, and now you're listening to The Pain Clinic.
The time has come to relieve that pain, which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you.
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
Welcome to the Pain Clinic for April 2nd. It's Mania weekend. Yay! Holidays today. It's Children's Book Day. National Peanut Butter and Jelly Day. And Ramadan starts at dusk today and Reconciliation Day. Birthdays today, real quick. Jack Evans is 40 years old. AEW TNT champion Scorpio Sky is 39. And Madman Fulton from Impact Wrestling is 32. The Pain Clinic's brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and Donuts Delight Empire at Culver. Hey, interested in roller derby? We want to be a skater and officiate Rock City Roller Derby. Needs you. Contact recruitment at rockderbyrecruitment@gmail.com and join Rock City Roller Derby. If you're into the men's team, it's the Flower City Fear. FlowerCityFear.com, FLOUR. Welcome to the show today. We got a lot of stuff to talk about. It's WrestleMania weekend. I want to welcome my co-host, Rob Sanderson. Good morning, Rob. How you doing?
Good morning.
You're here.
I'm good. I'm kind of almost wrestlinged out already.
Already. After last
It's after Thursday and Friday. There's been a lot of wrestling and wrestling related shows so far. So, it's an exciting week. There's definitely something for everybody.
We're also joined by Jay-Z. Jay-Z, how's it going, buddy? You can tell you're in the front seat of your car.
Yeah, so I'm at an undisclosed location right now. Although, if you've got any of those nerds that found Shia LaBeouf, they can probably look at the clouds outside and figure out where I am in about 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm in my car.
Sporting your NJPW shirt there, of course.
That's right. It's a wrestling t-shirt weekend.
That's right. Look, I got the WrestleMania 7 or 6, sorry, with the Ultimate Warrior. I don't understand the V's and I's and stuff. No, I'm kidding. I understand them completely. But yeah, right. You know, you could be wrestled out this weekend already, Rob. I definitely understand it with what's going on. I mean, last night was, wow, there was like three things going on at the same time pretty much.
Yeah, I'll be honest, like my plan going into this week of what I wanted to watch live and what I'll watch on demand later on and stuff, I have not caught up with or been able to keep up with. I've watched some GCW, some ROH, a couple minutes of WWE, WWE Hall of Fame, AEW, Glory Pro Wrestling. There's so much.
Yeah.
And that continues today and tomorrow. And like I said, probably catching up on some of the stuff after, but a lot of really good stuff going on. I hate to say it, but I feel like it is too much because there's a lot of really good stuff that's just not going to get any attention this week. But that's kind of the nature of this game. So,
yeah, you know, that's why they plan it all around this weekend. Cause they know that there's going to be a lot of eyes on wrestling in general. So maybe they'll get more eventually.
I think it's tough for me too, because like last night was a really big deal in the Sabres and hockey and Rick Jenneret world.
Yep.
Tonight is my main event for WrestleMania Saturday is Duke versus UNC. I mean, there's
you and Eric so Church. Yeah. You and Eric Church, right?
Yeah. I can't blame him. I can't blame him. I know a lot of people are upset with him, but
he cancels a concert to watch a Final Four game. It's like, yeah, I can understand that. Yeah. And the worst thing is yesterday was April Fool's Day, I'll tell you a good one they did to me at my job. I'm an audiovisual technician for the West Irondequoit Central School District, and they do a morning show every day in the morning. And, of course, what it is we have a TV studio in our offices, and the kids come and do like a 5-minute newscast of like what's for lunch that day, what clubs are meeting and what sports are going on. And it's the whole thing was upside down. And this is what they said on the show. They said, we had a software update, and if you're seeing this upside down, please give Mr. Jones a call. And they gave him my extension, and it's like, ha 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 ha. The funny thing on them was I didn't go until noon, so I didn't find out till I got in. But it was a joke because at the very end of the morning show, they turned it right back. They turned it right side up. But yesterday was April 1st. We are going to talk about a couple of those shows. We are, of course, WrestleMania. We're going to go through, look at WrestleMania. But last night, there's a couple of shows last night I want to talk about. Impact, Multiverse of Matches, as well as Ring of Honor, Super Card of Honor 15, which we saw some returns. And that's really the big thing is, there was a lot of people floating out there waiting for a return to this business. And we kind of got a little bit of it last night. I didn't even have in the news, and I'm going to write it down before I forget. Or it's in our things to hit, but I didn't really, it kind of came out after everything was over. But this is a big weekend for a lot of things. A lot of people showing up, you wonder where they were and everything. And before we get too far into it, I want to shout out to everyone saying hi. Good morning, Rennie. Good morning. Genesee Umpires is watching us. We've got a few people out there. Happy WrestleMania Day to all of you, Jeff and Mike, all you guys. Thank you so much. It's WrestleMania. We got last night, we got, on SmackDown, they did the Andre the Giant Battle Royale. We got that, which Madcap Moss won, which, I'm guessing the more people that win it, the less people give a darn about it,
I hate to say, I turned on, while we were waiting for the Ring of Honor stream to kick in, I turned on a few minutes of SmackDown, and I know I say this a lot, so I'm just going to say it quickly. It is an absolute disservice to all of the talented wrestlers in WWE that there are so many freaking camera cuts and camera zooms. After 2 minutes of watching that Battle Royal, I felt like I couldn't watch any more WWE this weekend. So Kevin Dunn and your crew, I would do anything as a fan of your product for the majority of my life for you to stop doing this crap. There is stuff this weekend I want to see on wrestling. I'm not blaming the wrestlers or the creative or any of that stuff, but from a production side of things, it's the most pathetic production decision in all of television. Just have to say that.
Okay. He would do anything for love, but he won't do that. Okay.
I don't get it. I know other people too that get seasick watching it.
No, you're right. You're right. Zooms in and outs. It's terrible. And it's, they think, and that's their answer to HD. Because HD, people were seeing how people weren't getting anywhere near each other. So that's their answer to how to solve the HD problem.
There's other ways to do it, though. The number of cuts in a WWE match are just, it's astonishing. And you'd think a guy like Kevin Dunn has been doing this for like 50 years would have another way to work around that. But it's very difficult for anyone to watch. I don't know how they haven't figured out a different way to get around it. But
they just run the matches during commercials.
It almost makes me want to go to WrestleMania because then I wouldn't have to watch the camera cuts. It's even worse when it's this weekend, but there's so many hours of even just WWE programming this weekend. I can't, I'm already seasick thinking about it. It's not fair. The WWE product, there's plenty of other complaints out there, obviously, 3-hour laws and everything else. But if they would just go back to the way that Kevin Dunn used to produce TV, the way they did it for all of those years, so if they brought in the way that Impact or AEW or Indies or anybody, any sports team or network, like if they would actually produce these TV shows, it would be 100 times better. So I think it's a shame because like this wasn't an issue when I loved watching WrestleMania 10 or 18 or whatever and stuff. And now it's just like, can't do it. And I want to try this weekend. Like there's obviously things that are intriguing to everybody this weekend, but I don't know how well I'm going to do with it. So we're going to have to wait and see between tonight and tomorrow. And everything else that's going on.
It's tough. You know, I think I'm going to probably, I got to work tonight. It's terrible. It's like, the place where I work did not give me time enough to ask for it off before they put out the schedule. And it would have. But so I'm going to watch it on Peacock on my phone in a studio while doing a sporting event. And the only thing I'm going to see on TV is probably Steve Austin. And because they announced last night, Steve Austin versus Kevin Owens is the main event for Saturday night. I'm hearing Steve Austin wants to wrestle. So I think it's going to happen in a wrestling ring. So we're going to see, DDP's been coming out saying he looks great. You know, we've seen hide nor hair of Steve Austin, except for that video of him and his little four-wheeler whipping through his Broken Skull Ranch and everything. But I find it interesting that that's the main event of Saturday night. But you've got the women's title on the line. You've got a lot of things going on. We'll go through that later, but
I think it makes sense to put that as the main event because number one, that might be the reason a lot of people are watching to stick it out to through the whole show to see the Steve Austin thing.
Especially in Texas.
And people maybe only going to the show to see Steve Austin. So they're going to not be leaving when Austin comes out. It makes sense putting that as the main event. I know that Austin hasn't wrestled in, 21 years or something like that?
They said 19. His last match was 19, against The Rock at WrestleMania 18. So
it's been so long, 19 years. So I haven't watched
WrestleMania 19, which was 19 years ago.
Sorry, 19. Yeah, it was in Seattle. I remember that.
I haven't watched any WWE TV, so I apologize. I'm completely blind to
that's
to
okay.
The buildups have been. But it makes complete sense. People are going to leave if he shows up in the beginning or in the middle. I think people are more, which speaks to the weakness of the WWE product, right? Because people are more excited about seeing a guy who hasn't been in a ring in 19 years as a wrestler than they are about Charlotte's match tonight or, any other match tonight. They're not excited to see the new guys. They're excited to see people that they grew up watching or whatever. It's just, I don't know why they don't get that signal there. That's a big sign that they're doing something wrong.
Well, when they claim that Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar is the greatest WrestleMania main event in the history of forever, did they realize that this is the same main event from a couple of years ago, and it's the same from a couple of years before that? So it's like, was it not the greatest a couple of years ago? It's the same two guys, That's the thing, and that's what we've been very critical about. This is not a big card. I'm not super excited. There's not a lot of things to be super. There are some things. I want to see Steve Austin. I'm looking forward to some of these matches. Just a couple of them, but not 2 days worth of them. That's for sure. They could have gone back to 1 day with this thing, but that's neither here nor there. And Rob, I know another reason you wouldn't want to be down in Dallas because it's in the state of Texas, and I understand that too. So
I have mixed feelings, but Kevin Owens is obviously one of my favorite wrestlers, and seeing Steve Austin is always cool. I don't know, maybe it's a traditionalist side of me. That better be a match if it actually closes.
It's gonna. I'm pretty sure it is. I'm pretty sure it's gonna be. It may not start out as a match, but it will turn into one, and we'll get a fall in the match. And I've heard so many people say that Kevin Owens is the perfect guy to be up against Steve Austin, just about the way he does things in the ring and how, And I agree. And I think you couldn't put Steve Austin against like a giant or anything. You'd have to have him against a guy who's about to say and I'm sure they've probably worked it out. But yeah, no, that's one thing that would bring me to the show that, I mean, there's some good competition, but you know, I don't think Becky Lynch getting her hair cut on Monday night is enough to make me, you know, I mean, listen, Becky Lynch and Bianca Belair, we all kind of like felt bad taste in our mouth when Becky showed up and beat her in like 15 seconds, you know, and maybe we'll get a redeeming from this, but I don't know, because they love Becky Lynch, but you know, I can't imagine her dropping the belt. I want to talk about the card later, but I want to talk about the Hall of Fame first. So before we get too far into it, and then we're going to go into some of those shows last night and the big surprises of people showing up. But the Hall of Fame last night, get this, they must have, what was it, about half an hour after SmackDown ended, they started, and it went over almost 3 hours. And you know, yes, they're in Dallas, so what's that, one time zone difference, I think?
Yeah, 1 hour.
I have not watched the whole thing yet, though I hear The Undertaker does reference Rochester, a match in Rochester that he had, and he doesn't reference who the wrestler was. But they started off with the Steiners, and Scott Steiner tells this stupidest story about calling cows with the Macho Man. They had a contest in upstate New York. He said, oh, there's farms to the left and farms to the right. He goes, so Macho pulls over by a field and says, I bet you I can make a cow come to me first. And they're sitting there yelling for cows to come to him. And Steiner couldn't do it. And so the Macho Man all of a sudden had three cows by him. And then Steiner, you know what the punchline to the joke is? He goes, I think Macho knew those cows. Okay. That was it. Yeah.
Well, the Macho Man was super famous, so maybe the cows knew who he was.
Yeah, it could have been, you know, I mean.
Yeah, come here, cow.
Come here, cow. So I was watching it this morning while I was doing the prep for the show because it was on so late last night, and I hate to say it, but I kind of nodded off during Rampage last night. Though Rampage, man, interesting show too. I mean, it was a lot of fun. But you know, you got to think about Rampage, and you know, that had to have been taped. It had to have been, because I know that, yeah, because a lot of those guys were doing in the Ring of Honor show. So especially FTR,
the Bucks.
And the Bucks. And it was good to see Top Flight back as a tag team. And we really realize how good those guys are. And the thing about those guys too, is like, man, why couldn't they just like push, who was the one that didn't get hurt?
Dante.
Why couldn't they have like pushed him, you know, in the old WCW and NWA days, they would have pushed him up to the point where he got a shot at the title, and then he would have been pushed back down. But they just kind of, he came out and he like always impressed every time he was out there. And then it seems like the last like month or two, he's just been waiting for, you know, his brother to come back.
Didn't he get a TNT title shot or no?
I think he may have gotten a title shot. But I mean, he should have pushed him to the top. That's not the top. That's, you know, one of the tiers, you know. So
I think he's so young, he's gonna get there. And it's another example of how many people they have that there's gonna be. I mean, these next few years, there's gonna be a bunch of people on that roster who are more than capable of being world champion for that company who will not hold the belts. There's too much talent for one spot or two spots or whatever you want to say it is. So I think he'll get there. I mean, I'm enjoying seeing the tag team back, you know, now that Darius is healthy again. But I mean, Dante he has shown that he could maybe go down eventually as the best high flyer in the history of this business.
Oh my
goodness. He's so smooth.
Just some of the things, some of the moves they were doing on the edge of the ring last night. He was doing, you know, the backflip off of the kick and stuff, you know, and just in weird positions and getting back into the ring. They were very, very good. So it's like, and I was very impressed with that last night too. I hate to say that I fell asleep by the end, but I did. So because I'm old, and that's
I was sleeping by 10:30 last night, so I'm old too. I think the biggest, if we're going to talk Dante Wright, I think his biggest weakness is he does not have the charisma yet. Like his brother, when he came back, he was oozing charisma. Like I was excited to see him just because he was there, and he was just really, really exciting to just, as he came out, you knew that he wanted to be there and he just looked exciting. And Dante just seems like, a lot of the time when he's not talking, like he's not cutting a promo, he looks like he's holding himself back from crying at a funeral. And I think that's his only drawback. If there's someone that can coach him up to get him to where, and sometimes charisma can't be taught.
Yeah.
But if he could just look exciting when he's not wrestling.
Sure, sure.
That would make it better. You know, I don't know. Maybe he can learn something from his brother or from somebody around him. Well, because he's not exciting to watch except when he's in the ring. And that's the most important part. But you need a guy who can sell a match for you, too.
Well, I will say something about him is I've seen guys with talent who consist strictly on their talent. And, you know, and like I said, I've seen young guys before who, when someone was hurt, they gave another guy a chance. And the guy, you know, like when Enzo and Cass, when Enzo got hurt and then they started pushing Cass single, and Cass looked great, but they only pushed him to a certain point. I thought Dante, I said he was so good and exciting in the ring that when he was in the ring, it was great. I don't care. Yeah, I didn't care much for when they were doing that whole Taz thing, you know, the whole Taz, you know, when he was trying to, Taz wanted him to join his group and stuff. I didn't care too much about that. But I shouldn't go off on a tangent on that. I definitely think that I thought that was a great match, at least, you know, on TV. We got to see FTR. And I was going to say, isn't FTR in Dallas? I had to think about that for a minute because I know that I'm going to jump into that in just a second. But did either of you guys see any of the Hall of Fame stuff last night? I mean, no, did you? I was going to say it was on super late. So,
as strange as this to say, this is definitely the first Saturday morning where I'm on this show and I have not seen all of Rampage. I only saw a little bit of Rampage. I saw none of Impact yet. So I almost don't want to hear about that yet.
Okay.
But I'm not going to keep you from talking about it on the show. I think the Hall of Fame, you know, the Steiners were the Steiners. I missed Charmel's part. The Vader one was quick and good. The Warrior Award had some really cool moments. I wish they would have let JTG be more of a part of it, but I thought it was still really, really good and a great way to honor Shad. Undertaker's never been my favorite wrestler, but was a huge part of the WWF, especially when I started watching wrestling. So I've always appreciated him, even though he's not been like my number one favorite. Like he was for so many of my friends growing up and still to this day. That speech or almost lecture or whatever, however you want to word what he did last night, was incredible. I just think, like, last night between seeing the Hall of Fame induction speech from The Undertaker and also the banner-raising speech from Rick Jeanneret, those are two of the best speeches I've ever seen anybody do in the same night. The Taker thing was so, like, no Hall of Fame speech in WWE has ever come close to that. It probably won't ever come close to that. Like, I don't know how much of that was off the cuff, how much of it was memorized, whatever, but he, you know, when he started walking out and, you know, he's under the blue and purple lights and stuff, he's like, does he have a Britney Spears microphone in? Like, what's going on here? Then you figure out why, and it was just, it was unbelievable. And he, especially too, when he started talking about like he mentions his own real name and talks about like pulling back the curtain and all this stuff. And it's like, yeah, I really didn't think we were ever going to get to the point where like the Undertaker actually talked about Mark Calloway and all of this stuff. And it was just the most real, authentic, thorough. I wasn't bored for a second, and that was a long speech. I have no idea how long that went, but I was interested in it the whole time. So props to him. I don't think many people could pull that off the way that he did. So overall, an enjoyable induction ceremony. I agree. It was long and it was late, and it's on this weekend where there's a million other things going on. I mean, personally, I kind of feel like they could have found a way to do this and maybe move NXT to some other time than doing that today, but whatever. The Taker speech was the best, probably the best Hall of Fame speech I've seen, not just WWE, but just in general, in sports. But so, that was incredible.
So You're saying it's better than Mr. T's speech from a few years back.
Okay. You know, I had to think about that for a second, but yeah.
I will watch it before I watch NXT at 1 o'clock today, because I was watching it when we started and I had to stop it on my TV. Yeah, I will go back and watch it. And then someone, and a couple of friends of mine did reference that he talked about wrestling in Rochester during it. So we had, you know, always nice to see the mentions. You know,
I feel like I have homework with all the stuff that I want to watch now, because I got three matches into Supercard of Honor this morning. And I want to finish that. I'm not sure how excited I am about NXT. Now I want to track down this Undertaker speech, because it sounds like it was really good. It's going to be a long weekend for wrestling fans.
I already started.
I probably can't do it yet, but I'd have to do like maybe a top five things from this whole week to go back and watch or something, because there's plenty of stuff I've missed as well. I need to. I was in the middle of a bunch of different things and I didn't really get to fully pay attention to FTR and the Briscoes. What I saw of it was awesome. And so I want to like my phone off and just watch that start to finish. But I've seen I haven't seen Joey Janela and X-Pac yet from a couple nights ago, but there's been so many good matches already this weekend that, I mean, it's tough for WWE because the pressure's almost on with everything that has already happened this weekend. This is WrestleMania weekend, but whether it's within WWE or outside of WWE, they've got a lot of competition to make WrestleMania be the actual biggest part of WrestleMania weekend.
I think pro wrestling in general for a week like this needs a sports center type program that can go over all the highlights from the week if they didn't have to worry about the rights, because there's a lot going on in every single promotion right now.
Yeah.
And it's hard to keep up with everything. Like, I forgot Impact even had a pay-per-view last night. I knew it was coming up. I didn't realize it was last night. So now, I mean, it's just, there's so much. It's very hard to take it all in.
You are correct there. I will, you know, you're interesting that you mentioned, one thing I learned about the business, the TV business, is that you can use people's clips and stuff without permission if you're doing it in a newsworthy. And so if you did like Pro Wrestling Illustrated did like a weekend wrap up or something, you could easily do something like that with, you know, showing highlights of everything. But yeah, there's a lot going on. And speaking of a lot going on, we're going to talk right now about a little Supercard of Honor 15 last night. That probably one of the, you know, I think even more anticipated than WrestleMania at times, just because of the way they kind of shut down business back in January and said, hey, we're revamping everything. We're going to redo everything. I don't know if they meant they were going to revamp everything or that they were going to sell it and we were going to continue doing the same thing. I don't know. I did not get to see the show, but I want to now after seeing some of what happened. A lot of AEW, because of Tony Khan buying it, a lot of AEW guys were participated in the show. They had a couple free ones too. You could watch the first couple matches that were for free, and I think that was Colt Cabana and Blake Christian was a free one, as well as AQA and Miranda Allies. That also was a free one.
And Dalton Castle.
Dalton Castle was Castle beating Joe Henry. And it's good to see that some of these guys are still working with Ring of Honor, because it's like we were worried they were going to lose everybody. But they've also gained certain people from, and we learned last night. And one of the people they gained was Tully Blanchard came out and introduced. Well, first of all, he's like managing now in Ring of Honor, which I think is incredible, is a good thing. You know, Tully Blanchard, you think of Tully Blanchard, you think of, you know, hard hitting, you know, I think of the slingshot suplex, you know, and just a real tough ground wrestler. And he comes out and introduces Brian Cage. Wow. You remember what was the big mystery? Was it like 6 months ago? We were trying to figure where did Brian Cage go? Well, now we know. Yeah. I'm sorry if we're spoiling anything for anybody who's online who hasn't seen it yet, but I'm going to spoil everything from this show. So,
at this point, yeah, I mean, everything got spoiled on the timeline for me this morning anyway.
Yeah.
So, but it's watching how it plays out. Like, Tully Blanchard pairing, I was texting with friends this morning about that. Tully Blanchard with Brian Cage is a good fit, because Brian Cage is a mouthpiece, and there isn't one much better than Tully Blanchard. He's also he's also managing another team.
Gates of Agony.
Tag team.
Yeah, Gates of Agony. Yeah.
And I like it. I'd like to see him get like a technical guy kind of on his in his group as well, because he's got like these three massive dudes. So if he had like a smaller technical wrestler that more fits the Tully Blanchard role, that would round it out really well. Just for these three guys, I think it's fine. I think it's great to see him doing something other than working with FTR, who really didn't need a mouthpiece unless they get like a Jim Cornette, which will never happen. I think it's good for him to be working in the business with younger guys as well.
How about you, Rob?
Yeah, I mean, I honestly don't know, like there were rumors out there and stuff. So the Brian Cage one, I was not surprised by. And the appearance later in the night was something that I was predicting was going to happen. And I just blindly, and so I wasn't super surprised, but I think it just, it's weird. Like the show overall, I really liked the ROH show. I think it was a good mix of honoring the past. Even you mentioned, I mean, Colt Cabana being in the very first match on the pre-show, you know, he had a huge history there. It still leaves a lot of question marks in my mind in terms of like where this is going and when their next show is and who's under what contract and how it's going to match up with AEW, people either going back and forth where it turns into a developmental or what. Like, it's kind of confusing, but just the show itself was solid from what I saw. And I think they really, you know, I think it could have been easy to think that Tony Khan was just going to let this be kind of like a, well, we got to get through the show because Ring of Honor had already announced it and then I bought it, whatever. And clearly they went through and tried to deliver a really good show. And they did. You know, there's some people on the show that I didn't necessarily expect to be back in Ring of Honor one way or another. And obviously it's an opportunity for, you know, Wheeler Yuta had been there before, but got to have a big match last night, got to win a title last night. There's a lot of things that, you know, it could go a million different ways now. And I don't know. I mean, with it, with the talent available and stuff, I mean, this to me is right now the most interesting ROH has been in at least 4 or 5 years, but maybe even more than that. You know, there's a lot of possibilities there. I just still worried about Tony Khan kind of spreading himself too thin, without letting other people kind of help.
Well, I mean, some of the highlights of the show, and we'll go in quick. Mercedes Martinez defeats Willow Nightingale by submission for the interim ROH women's. So obviously we didn't get the ROH women title holder to show up, maybe because she was doing another show at the same time.
Well, a little bit later, but yes. So that sets up a Mercedes Martinez, Deonna Purrazzo match in the future, which something we had on TCW a few months ago, and it's a match I'd watch every single day. And just seeing, I was obviously super excited when Mercedes came in AEW. She's been one of my favorite wrestlers for 2 decades. I say that all the time. But she's been pretty much just losing and stuff. So it was really nice to see her win a title.
Definitely. But I got it. This is the match I really want to see off the card is FTR and the Briscoe brothers, because it went 27 and a half minutes with a pinfall by FTR winning the Ring of Honor Tag Team Championships. And just crazy.
To be honest, that's the match that sold the card for me. I wasn't all that intrigued by the rest of the stuff because I'm not familiar with half the roster of ROH. But that match, FTR is just on a mission of getting respect. Not even in storyline, but people like that looking at them as like a WWE tag team. And they're like, no, we're more than that. And they're proving it every week. Every time they wrestle, they're way more than just a WWE tag team. They're one of the best out there. I was sold on that with the Briscoes, because the Briscoes are probably my favorite tag team in the history of Ring of Honor, which is really not that hard to say.
Well, they were there the whole time. They're there the whole time. Yeah, so,
exactly. And they're always exciting to watch them cut a promo when they're just unleashed on he's throwing up a camera on a tractor and then cutting a promo in a barn. Always fun to watch. So that was the match that really was the what put me over the edge. I'm like, yeah, I gotta watch this show, you know. And I'm glad
I was curious if apparently
it was good.
Are the Briscoes done now with ROH, or what's gonna happen from here? I mean, obviously it's kind of like almost a loophole for Tony Khan to be able to use them in ROH and not AEW, with all things considered, but I'm hoping that was not the last of the Briscoes under the ROH banner. But I mean, like I said, I only saw a good amount of the match. I wasn't able to fully pay attention to it while assembling a desk at the same time and some other things. But I think it was you can't normally say this, but from what I saw of the match, I already feel like I could say it's the match of the week. And I didn't even see the whole thing. So after I go back and watch it, I'm confident that's going to be the case.
Yeah, and we had, let me say, a couple more matches. We had Minoru Suzuki winning the ROH World Television title off of Rhett Titus. Wheeler Yuta, we mentioned, Wheeler Yuta is, I saw a new banner pop up for Wheeler Yuta, and that's because Wheeler Yuta defeated Josh Woods by pinfall for the Pure Championship. And Gresham defeated Bandido with Chavo Guerrero by pinfall for the Ring of Honor heavyweight title. So we got, we got a lot of, there's 12 matches on there, you know, that's insane. That's a long night of wrestling. And, you know, it's funny is I thought I had put the highlights of the impact card that on there, I mentioned that a minute ago. And so I was just kind of looking it up while we were talking, but it's like, that card, because I believe, didn't the Briscoes wrestle on that card too?
They were scheduled to, yeah.
They did. They definitely did. So, I'll go through. We'll talk about each of those matches. But so I will say that I'll give Tony Khan a lot of credit. It was a good night of wrestling. There's a lot of stuff we want to go back and watch. And
one of the things I've noticed, sorry to interrupt.
That's okay.
About the Ring of Honor show from last night. One of my big gripes with a lot of wrestling shows, especially pay-per-views that are, you know, 4 or 5 hours long, are a lot of the matches kind of overstay their welcome and they end up going longer than they should. I've watched 3 matches of the Super Card of Honor so far, and I'm only 40 minutes into the show. Every match seems to be paced properly so that it doesn't overstay its welcome. The second match is Brian Cage's match. It's not that long. The opening match is really good. Swerve Strickland and Alex Zane, but it's not too long. And I think when you look at 12 matches, you're like, oh man, I'm in for a long night. The good thing is it's a 3-hour show and they fit all those 12 matches in and it's paced well from what I can tell already. So some people look at that as it's daunting, but it's not, it's really not. It's a well-paced wrestling show. I think AEW suffers from that, you know, overcooking my grits, I guess, as Denzel would say. I think this is it's so far very well paced, so don't be afraid of it. It's not like you're going to be watching a match and be bored halfway through and then excited for the end. It's going to actually be really good pay-per-view to watch.
Excellent.
Yeah, I think that's definitely true that that's the case. And I mean, it's tough because I that makes me think of Dynamite on Wednesday. We got to see Tony Storm come out and defeat the Bunny. And, you know, as somebody who, you know, I don't want to see the Bunny get squashed, obviously a fan, but at the same time, not every match has to be so competitive. So maybe if Tony Storm's coming in, maybe don't put her against the Bunny, but whoever she's facing in her first match, it didn't need to go that long. I felt like the matches were all going super long as they often do. And sometimes I don't want to see just squash matches. If I want that, then that's what Dark is pretty much. But I mean, it just, that also makes me think of Undertaker last night where I think he said the word squash and then directed himself to enhancement. It was hilarious. but I think, you know, that was something where it was like, no, let Tony Storm come in and be a big deal. Like you don't have to come in and then, back and forth and, oh, is she going to win? I don't know. Like, there's too much. It's almost like it's too nice to people, like not letting them, you know, just lose a match. Not everybody has to look strong in every single match. So
that was my complaint about Keith Lee's debut. He should have just come in and squashed. It was Isaiah Cassidy, right? That should have been a squash match.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I wonder if, and this is just me theorizing, I wonder if Tony Khan is afraid of making the people that he's built from the ground up look too weak when new people show up. But there's a way you could do that where you don't like destroy the credibility of the wrestler. Because some people are going to lose fast matches and maybe use that later on down the line if you're going to book them to be strong at some point. I wonder if there's like a fear of making his people, the quote unquote people that have been there since the beginning, especially like the Bunny, look weak. But I think it's okay to do that once in a while without destroying their credibility. And I think especially when you're bringing in a big star or someone you want to be a big star like Toni Storm, there's no reason why she had to wrestle for, what is it, 6 minutes or something like that, however long that match went. It could have been a quick two and a half minute. Yeah, it could have been 2.5 minutes and no one would have cared. I don't think the Bunny would have lost anything by losing that fast. But
yeah, it's definitely a very common thing. I think it's happened so many times and it almost, I don't think this is the case. Maybe he's getting better with it, but it almost feels like one of those like he's like a youth sports coach and everybody's going to get a chance in the game, even if they're not good. And everybody's going to you have to have some people look stronger than others. That was 8 minutes and 41 seconds, Tony and the Bunny, which is just, it's too much. I mean, that's not, there's no reason for that. The other thing to do is like Tony, somebody coming in, like make her a big star, immediately put her as like a threat and a contender in that division. But there have been too many instances where they make a big deal out of something that then they don't do anything with for a while or at all. Tony Nese, Lee Moriarty. I mean, the list goes on and on of people that like they give a little attention to and then they just disappear. Jay Lethal was like that. Maybe after this week and last night, he's more relevant on all that stuff, or who knows? You know, now we're in this time where we don't really know who's doing AEW, who's doing ROH, who's doing both, whatever. Like, it's going to get a little confusing, I think, with that. And there'll be more opportunities for people. But the roster just keeps growing every week. And it's exciting because they're good additions. But,
you know,
it's getting really flooded.
I may have a little – I thought that as long as the Bunny got some offense in and looked good during the match, I thought it was okay. And there was moments where Bunny looked good in that match. So –
yeah,
you know, I mean, yeah. You know, but you know, I mean, there's not a lot of people you can squash. I think, unfortunately, there's a few people that can. There's a few people that seem that's all they seem to do is lose, and Bunny's one of them. There's, you know, there's a couple people that come out, put on a great show, and then lose every week, and it's like, you know, but I mean, that's kind of how the wrestling business goes, you know, because eventually the things will top. Who's on top will be on the bottom, and who's on the bottom will be on the top eventually. So they'll, you know, so maybe Bunny will be up there in years to come. You know, as long as it's a long term type of thing. But I do want to mention, just to get off that for a second, Impact Wrestling Multiverse of Matches. There was a bunch of results last night. I'll go through them real quick. Trey Miguel won the Ultimate X title. Did he win it? Yeah, he did win it. You know, but Trey Miguel has also been a champion before. So, Mickey James and Nick Aldis won the against Chelsea Green and Matt Cardona. We had Mike Bailey beating Alex Shelley. Influence. This is a surprise. Influence retains their titles. You know, I've always thought they were good workers when they were in the WWE. So it's like it doesn't surprise me. But they're against some.
No. You're thinking of the Inspiration.
Oh, I'm sorry. The Inspiration. Yeah, I'm sorry. No. I apologize. But I think they were good too. You know, but they weren't involved in this match at all. So.
Yeah, I don't know what their deal is right now. They're not on like anything this weekend, I don't think.
That's weird. There was four tag teams in that, and the champions were Madison Rayne and Tennille Dashwood. So, we got Eddie Edwards versus Tomohiro Ishii, and Ishii won, and Moose PCO versus Josh Alexander and Jonah, and we got Alexander and Jonah winning. And Deanna Peraza defended Champ Challenge, which I kind of dig. I always think it's funny how they do that. Beat Fabi Apache and continues to be champ. Jay White beat Chris Sabin beat Jay White. And the Briscoes, who ran from one after doing a 27.5-minute match, run to take on the Good Brothers. And the Good Brothers beat them. So the Briscoes lost two times that last night. Which that's what I thought was interesting. It's like, is that something, you know, maybe, you know, will they show up on AEW now? Because maybe I don't know. That's, what do you guys think about them losing two times in the same night?
Well, the second loss is a good excuse. They got a good excuse for that one, for losing the second one after the first one being a half hour.
Sure.
I don't know. I don't think they're getting buried. I don't know that. There's a lot of controversy around the Briscoes for obvious reasons. So I don't know whether or not they're finishing up because maybe they're done. Maybe this is it for them. And they're going out on their backs like the old school wrestlers do. But I'll watch a Briscoes match any day of the week, you know? So if they're done, they're done. But if they're back, if they're going to show up in AEW, that'd be great. There's so many possible feuds there for him that the world's an oyster at this point.
I don't think it's, I mean, wins and losses don't matter as much these days. And I feel like just there's reasons for the Good Brothers to win when it's an Impact show. And I was not surprised to see FTR win, considering they're actually under a Tony Khan contract and everything else. So that kind of is what it is. I was a little surprised. I mean, again, I didn't know the results from the show until right now. Sabin beating Jay White is a little surprising to me with everything they're trying to do with the Bullet Club and Jay White and stuff. Kind of a little disappointed that Fabi Apache would have been the challenger for Barrazzo. But obviously, like, Apache was in town for the AAA show, which I watched a good amount of Thursday night as well. I hate that. And I like seeing Mercedes win the ROH interim women's world title, but hate interim titles. And I really wish that Deanna would have just been on that show instead. But I don't know. It makes you think more about, like, this working relationship with Tony Khan and Scott D'Amore, and, like, how much are they on the same page and willing to work with each other at this point compared to a year ago or 2 years ago. And, like, I don't know. They were kind of competition last night in a lot of ways.
Head to head at one point, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for at least a little bit of the overlap. But then in terms of, like, the talent, I mean, this is all just, I mean, a byproduct of letting Deanna win ROH women's title when she's under an Impact contract, which happened before Tony Khan bought ROH. And Roxy was the champion before. Now she's signed at WWE, whatever. But, like, there's just, I don't know, there's so much to try to keep track of and stuff. And there's, everybody's got so many matches this week that I've just been really impressed with some of the people that I've seen who have put on multiple incredible matches in one day or a ton in the same 4-day span or whatever. So I did not see the Briscoes and the Good Brothers. I will watch that at some point. If the Briscoes, I expect they probably had another incredible match there. If Busick the other day on Thursday wrestled John Moxley in the afternoon on Bloodsport in just a crazy, hard-hitting, awesome match. And then hours later, if Busick had to wrestle Minoru Suzuki. So I can't imagine wrestling John Moxley and Minoru Suzuki in the same night, back-to-back. Like, so credit to all these wrestlers for putting in some serious, you know, 2-3 match a day days here. And I know a lot of them are wrapping up today. Some of them there's a couple more shows tomorrow as well, but it's obviously a big week to try to stand out amongst everybody else that's in Dallas.
Yeah. They're also an opportunity to make more money in the couple days than they've made in months. So, you know, that's a big deal. And they can do, like, the WrestleCon too, while they're there too, do sign autographs. I mean, I know a lot of these guys are doing WrestleCon as well. So, and that's going on. I'm sure that's probably closing up shop soon just because all these shows still going on. But I'm going to do some news before we go through the WrestleMania lineups because I just want to go through each match, you know, for tonight and tomorrow. Jay-Z, you got to run in 11, I'm guessing, right?
Yes, in 10 minutes.
Okay,
you as well.
Oh, you both do. So we'll make this a short show. Sorry, folks. Real quickly, Bayley and Asuka are among the wrestlers who WWE brought to Dallas. There's no word if WWE has plans for either of them to return this weekend. I'm guessing maybe both are going to show up at some point. If they're healthy, of course, you're going to use them. You know, I mean, we've been missed. Asuka and Bayley both got us through the pandemic. If it wasn't for those two ladies, WWE would have been hurting even worse than they are now. So they also brought Shane McMahon there. And we talked about Shane McMahon, about how he was going to book WrestleMania and how after his top four Royal Rumble finish. And they decided that wasn't good for the business and sent him home. But now they're bringing him out there. So hopefully he's not involved in anything during WrestleMania, but you never know. I mean,
he's the Cody red herring. That's what he is. He's the Cody red herring.
Is he the Cody red herring? Because we're going to get Cody this weekend. We'll be very excited about that. Something mentioned earlier by the artiste, Toni Storm, appeared. It was the infamous mystery woman. We weren't sure who it was going to be. I thought it was going to be Mickie James just because she's showing up everywhere, but it was Toni Storm. So kudos. Toni Storm looked great, by the way, never really got a chance. Remember, Toni Storm was supposed to be taking on Charlotte back in January, and it just kind of fizzled out and they canceled it. So I'm happy for Toni Storm to find another place to live. And you mentioned earlier, Samoa Joe is back with Ring of Honor. Samoa Joe signed a contract with, he's All Elite. He's got one of those banners around him. So I don't know exactly what Joe wants to do. Does he want to announce? Does he want to wrestle? I mean, he can do everything. So let's hope we get a little bit of everything of Joe. Yeah, and he's also a bouncer too, and I've seen him do it a couple times. So Joe can throw you out of an event if he wants to. But I'm super happy that he, these are some of the names that are popping out from showing up. So found out yesterday that Anthony Bowens has been dealing with a knee injury, and that's why we haven't seen him wrestle. So we get Max Caster whenever we get those guys out there. But, of course, did you see Caster's rap the other day coming down? talks about some stuff. It was pretty funny, actually, about CM Punk and about crap in his pants and stuff. I thought that was hilarious. Sorry. Because he goes Z-Pack and pants poop or whatever. I can't remember. It was like,
yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, that was pretty. I mean, I mark out for everything they say, so sorry. This Wednesday on AEW Rampage, we're going to get FTR, the new Ring of Honor champions, taking on the Young Bucks. The Young Bucks accepted their challenge last night on Dynamite, not Ramp. They accepted their challenge on Rampage for Dynamite this week. So Wednesday, we've got a really cool match set for the show. They do a great job with the competition on Dynamite. I always sit there and think it's like pay-per-view quality every time I watch it. So I'm really...
And that match is now for both the ROH and AAA tag titles.
Awesome.
Oh, goodness. Oh, goodness.
That is awesome. So AEW star Miro is currently working on a new TV series in New York City. Miro revealed on Twitter and Instagram this week he's been living in Brooklyn, working on a pilot for a new project. It's called East New York. He's going to play a character named Nikolai Dushkin. Boy, it's a stretch, huh? Which Miro confirmed on Instagram. So
I would like a camera to follow him living in Brooklyn. How many coffee houses are on it? Does he visit? Does he have to beat up a guy driving a fixie bike? like all sorts of stuff. Does he become a hipster himself? Is he smoking cloves on his downtime? I want to know. I want to watch that show. I'd watch that show.
So I mentioned Madcap Moss earlier in the show as winner of the 2022 Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royale. I believe that's one. They're going to replay that match possibly on the pre-show today, the two-hour pre-show, starting at 6:00. Let's see. One last piece of news before we get to run to the WrestleMania stuff. WWE has two fictional TV shows about World of Pro Wrestling in the works. The first is a Spanish language comedy about aspiring wrestler in Mexico called Contra las Cuerdas. and it's being produced by Netflix in Mexico. And the second one is a Succession-like mogul family drama called Pinned. Is being produced by NBC Universal, and there's no word on if it'll air on Peacock, as the network has yet to determine. The show will tell the story of a fictional family that runs a pro wrestling company. Pinned has secured a script sale and comes from UCP, Universal Content Productions, which is a TV production company that operates within Universal Studios. It's going to be like Succession, but it's going to be the McMahon family in their mansion and stuff like that. So I don't know. I say A to that, but if it happens, it happens. You never know. You could have a dramedy with Vince McMahon as like the father of the household, you know, the big man.
Is there a Macho Man character that gets involved with the daughter?
No. I hope not. I certainly hope not. So folks, I'm sorry, we're going to be going pretty quick on this. So let's go to WrestleMania 38. These are the matches that are going to happen tonight. We mentioned a few of them earlier. Becky Lynch versus Bianca Belair for the Raw Women's title. Hopefully that's a great match. We got two women's titles matches tonight, so that's great. Charlotte Flair and Ronda Rousey for SmackDown. I'm guessing we're going to see two title turnovers for that. Main event, Steve Austin appears on the KO show hosted by Kevin Owens. We kind of waxed poetically on that in the beginning of the show. Jimmy and Jey Uso versus Shinsuke Nakamura, Rick Boobs. That pretty much last night's SmackDown set this up. Everything that's involved except for Logan Paul and The Miz versus the Mysterios was set up last night on the show. Drew McIntyre versus Happy Corbin. And it's a pretty short list for what's going on. There might be more, but that's just the written down matches so far. There might be something else. We'll see The Undertaker, I'm sure, as well. And it doesn't sound like a super great, but I do want to watch him. The
Seth Rollins match is supposed to be tonight.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
I haven't seen that listed everywhere. I feel like it was said for tonight, not tomorrow.
That's one they don't.
Probably because they don't want to hear Cody chants the entire time tonight and tomorrow.
Well, I appreciated that one of the interviews I watched this week, Becky was like asked about those chants, and she said that it was the crowd that was chanting Seth's government name, Colby, Colby. So, it was good.
Yeah, I like that too.
That's pretty good. I like that.
I like Becky. I like her real person, not her evil character she's doing. She's actually seems like a really cool person. So, yeah, that's funny. Colby Lopez. I didn't hear Lopez out there, but it's interesting. There's been some great interviews this week too, by the way. And so then on Sunday, we're going to jump to Sunday, and they said, and George is reminding us that Seth's opponent won't be announced until he hits the ring. So maybe that's when Shane McMahon comes out and then introduces him. I don't know. But I heard that they want to go with the Nightmare Cody Rhodes, so we'll see what happens. Maybe he'll come up from underground. Mm-hmm. You know, I doubt it, but that might be going too far. There might be.
What if Shane McMahon comes out dressed as Stardust?
Oh, no. Cody will already be leaving the building at that point.
This might be the first match of the night, too. I wouldn't be surprised if it's the first match because, you know, it seems like that, you know, trying to like make it look like it's punishment for Seth that, you know, he's got to wrestle, but he doesn't know who. And so maybe it'll start the show. I think that would be a great hot way to do it. We'll see. I'm not sure the exact order. I just know that KO and Austin are in the main event. So going to Sunday before you guys have to leave. Sunday, we got, of course, Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar in the greatest wrestling match in the history of the business and the world and all time and history forever. And
you know, maybe it'll be the best match of WrestleMania 38. We'll see.
Maybe. It might be.
Maybe.
If they give them time, you know, yeah.
To be fair, since the last time they met in WrestleMania, Roman Reigns has improved vastly. So, yeah. I don't know.
He didn't make any bold predictions this year about pinning two people at the same time. So it's like, you know, I was waiting to hear some bold prediction come out of his mouth, and there was nothing bold about it. So that's why I think probably we're going to get Brock Lesnar with a unified title at the end of this. So we got RK-Bro versus Street Profits versus Alpha Academy for the Raw titles. Sounds like a lot of fun. Believe it or not, I enjoy Alpha Academy. I slowly but surely, Chad Gable makes me laugh. because he's got like these catchphrases he works into everything he's doing. So then we got Queen Zelina and Carmella versus Sasha Banks and Naomi versus Rhea Ripley, Liv Morgan versus Shayna Baszler and Natalya in a four-way for the WWE Women's Tag Titles. That's going to be a lot of fun too. I like these four-way tag matches. It'll be a lot of fun. Knoxville and Zane, I don't care. maybe Knox, it's a shame that Zane doesn't have the belt, because I think Knoxville would win if it was a belt, if they, but apparently I was reading about Knoxville and that it was supposed to be a one-time thing, but they loved how he worked and they loved how the crowd reacted to him, and so that's why they signed him on for a longer deal. So Edge and AJ Styles, yes, that's one I'm looking forward to, of course. I mean, AJ Styles, Edge coming out as the evil Edge, now he's dressing nice, and he's got the blue light and all sorts of, McAfee and Austin Theory, yeah, they stuffed that down our throat last night on SmackDown, too, well, multiple times. It's like, Pat McAfee's an announcer. He's not going to become a full-time wrestler, so you got to think Austin Theory will get over in the long run. Vince McMahon's going to be involved in it somehow. He is, because he yelled at Pat McAfee last night, and that looks like it's pretty much it. There's probably a couple matches that are floating around still, but so what night's better, everybody? What do you think is going to be the best night? It's a tough one.
It is, because there's stuff on each night I'm interested in, like Edge and AJ Styles, and then I'm intrigued as to how they're going to book Cody coming out of the gate. So
Seth lost to KO at last year's WrestleMania.
Yeah.
So he
I think I'm anticipating. I'm sorry.
I was gonna say he can handle a loss. So
yeah, I think I'm anticipating night one more than I am night two, but I think night two with, I think Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar is going to be a good match. And I think Edge and AJ Styles is going to be really good too. I think the better matches will be on night two, but I'm anticipating night one more, if that makes sense.
Okay.
I kind of agree with most of that, I would say. I mean, I think it's if we get Steve Austin and Cody tonight, to me that kind of will overshadow tomorrow. I agree. I think, like, I wouldn't have cared about Reigns and Lesnar a few years ago. I do think that it has the potential to be a great match. I mean, I agree, Edge and AJ. I mean, I would have really loved to have seen that match a decade ago, but I still think that'll be good. Outside of those two matches tomorrow, I don't care about tomorrow, where I feel like tonight has more of, like, matches I kind of care about. You know, the Charlotte match, the Bianca match, there's a little bit more. There's a bunch of stuff on both nights that, quite honestly, I have no interest in whatsoever. And that's not something I'm used to in WrestleMania. So there's a couple things each night that intrigue me. You're not going to get me to care about Logan Paul in the ring against Dominic Mysterio or a bunch of this other crap. At least there's some stuff. I don't know. I kind of wish, like, all the stuff that I cared about was tomorrow, because, like I said, I'm going to be kind of distracted.
I think the world is with a Final Four going on at the same time. And I think the women's NCAA championship, is that tonight too?
That's tomorrow.
Okay, it's tomorrow. It's like, I know they had the Final Four last night. So there's a lot.
South Carolina, UConn tomorrow.
Yeah, there's a lot of things going on. There's a lot of things to keep us busy. Baseball, they want to get it. Yeah, it probably wasn't great timing by WWE, but it's not the strongest show either of the days than we've seen in the past. They could have taken the best of all this and made one day out of it, I think. I hate to say that, because we were the ones complaining the most about they were doing 8 hours of show and they should split it up. But, they're insistent on doing it. It looks like overall they have, 13 matches at least in the 2 days. So yeah.
I don't think they're ever going back to one night WrestleMania. I think we're in this for the long haul now. They like selling tickets for two nights, I think. And I don't know how well the ticket sales have been for WrestleMania. I haven't been following that too close. But, if you're traveling to Dallas or wherever to watch WrestleMania, you might as well buy tickets for both nights. I think that's how people are sort of planning at this point. I don't think it's ever going to go away.
The weird thing about it to me is like there's so many people that are in Dallas for like the collective and or maybe the Hall of Fame or different things or whatever. So many people that aren't going to Mania at all. I don't know. Either way, it's impressive because I mean they're gonna. It's a gigantic stadium, obviously. So whatever. I mean, it's not going to be full either night. Sounds like, which is kind of crazy to think about for a WrestleMania, but. It'll still be impressive. I know what I saw. The most concerning thing probably is the ticket sales for NXT this afternoon looked horrible. So
somebody's got to lose. Someone's got to lose, you know, in all these great shows, you know.
And I just feel like with the WrestleMania in previous years, like, yeah, it seemed like it was a marathon, but it was still like a point where like I was interested in most, if not all, the matches. To me at this point, like, yeah, you got 2 days, you got these matches and stuff, but there are so many matches on here that to me just aren't WrestleMania worthy. There's just, whether it's Corbin or Logan Paul or the women's four-way tag or Johnny Knoxville or Rick Boogs or whatever, like, there's so much stuff on here to me that just doesn't feel like WrestleMania worthy. That's the big difference to me, where I think it could easily be condensed into one really good night if you take a lot of that filler out. But to me, it's just, all right, we squeeze some guys into last night's SmackDown, and now we're going to squeeze everybody else in these next couple nights or whatever, and there'll be some matches that'll be good, but there's going to be a lot that's going to be something you could see on a SmackDown or Superstars on any weekend.
You know, you made me realize something that we didn't even go through the NXT show. So real quickly, the main event, Ziggler versus Bron Breakker. We got LA Knight, Gunther, Imperium versus the Creed Brothers versus MSK, Mandy Rose versus Cora Jade versus Io Shirai versus Kaylee Ray, Ciampa versus Tony D'Angelo, Carmelo Hayes versus Escobar versus Solo versus Waller versus Grimes. There's a few good matches. I'm going to turn this on at 1 o'clock, and we got Toxic Attraction versus Raquel and Dakota Kai. So I must have lost a page someplace between when I printed it out and what popped in, because I meant to mention that was going on at 1 o'clock today on Peacock.
Oh my gosh.
I hope people are excited about that. That show's not making the cut. With a million hours of wrestling I'm watching this week, there's nothing on that show to me that stands out. It's not a takeover anymore. To me, it's not NXT. Like it's disappointing. There's a few people I really, really like on that card, but not enough for me to give that attention among everything else going on this week.
I will say that I will watch The Undertaker's speech before I watch that, so I've got my afternoon plotted out, you know?
You know what WrestleMania, with all the people traveling to these big shows that are happening around WrestleMania, it's almost like WrestleMania week has become like one of those big festivals like South by Southwest. And when people aren't going to like the major stuff, they're going to the little stuff and enjoying themselves that way. That's why people are traveling down there, because it's WrestleMania is the draw, but it's not the draw anymore. It's just everybody's putting shows around that. And no one cares about WrestleMania, but they care about going to see Bloodsport. They care about going to see
WrestleCon. ROH. You know, WrestleCon, they get to meet DDP. They get to meet a lot of Sean Waltman's there. All these wrestlers who don't have a spot in WWE on this show at all are all showing up at WrestleCon to do autographs.
It'll be interesting to see what this is all like next year, because obviously, like, you know, Tony Khan tried to go all out with the Ring of Honor pay-per-view, but we know that he does not want to run WrestleMania weekend in the WrestleMania city. That was just something that was already booked that he honored. Will all of this happen again like this next year and what, Los Angeles next year? I think, I don't know. It's crazy because everybody's going for it this weekend. There's a couple indies I'm going to check out this afternoon. There is something for everybody. I guess it's the best way to put it. So hopefully Mania, at least the WrestleMania nights are not too long. Feels like, yeah,
please.
Part of the mix, but they're not the highlight of the week.
Rennie just posted, he goes, can you imagine buying a ticket to see NXT and then going to WrestleMania later that night? He goes, I would be so tired. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. You didn't have to,
especially with how many people are already tired. I mean, even if you're, take the WrestleCon and all the indie shows and everything else out of the equation, a lot of people went down there just for WWE stuff, and they went to the Hall of Fame last night. But how late did they get back to their hotel room last night after that? So then turn around and try to do maybe NXT plus two nights of Mania? Like,
well, they got a free,
people took Monday off work.
Yeah, they got a free show too, WrestleMania SmackDown, which that was the name of the show last night. They got, I believe they got that. That so they didn't have to buy a separate ticket to be for the Hall of Fame.
As someone who has attended many Comic Cons, where they start on a Thursday and they end on a Sunday, Sunday afternoon is when everybody starts to feel it. They've got adrenaline going, so I'm curious as to how the crowd's going to be tomorrow night. I think they'll be still going. They'll still be okay tonight, but tomorrow night is going to be the one where when they hit like 10 o'clock and Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar hasn't started yet, how they're going to be feeling. Because I know when I went to see Dynamite here in Rochester, it started at 7. Rampage was a great show that night, and the stuff they did after the show was over was great. But I was exhausted by 10:15, and they were still shooting Rampage at that point. And I couldn't imagine being there from 1 o'clock in the afternoon until, what, midnight? I mean, especially with how much money are you spending on food and beers, and how drunk are you by 7 o'clock when the show starts? You know, like, what's happening there?
Well, keep in mind the people that are going to like these collective shows and stuff, like they have shows that start at 11 a.m 3 o'clock, 8 o'clock, whatever. Each night there's been a show that's been starting at midnight. So like there's people who have been wrestling at like 2 o'clock in the morning and then again at like 9 o'clock in the morning the next day, which is just insanity. So I think a lot of people are already burned out. I agree. I mean, at least I think Reigns and Lesnar are two that can, they can get the crowd interested at that point. But once you get to middle to late of tomorrow's card, yeah, that crowd's going to be. And that would, if I was somebody wrestling on WrestleMania weekend, I would absolutely want to be on tonight or like first match tomorrow or something. That's not a, you don't want to be the 400th match of the week that everybody's seen.
You remember the Royal Rumble when everyone thought, okay, now we're going to get, you know, get to the last match. It's like, no, there's another one. Edge and his wife are wrestling and Miz and his wife. It's like, what? This is going to go so late. Yeah, it's like, you know, I mean, cause you know, people still do work Monday, believe it or not. So let's hope it doesn't go. Yeah. I feel it will on Sunday though. I think the second day will, it seems like it will go longer. It did last year. We know that it went to like 11:30 or whatever. So you know, we'll see. But you know what? That's our WrestleMania wrap show, guys. I know you guys got busy. You got to take off and do things. But, you know, I hope you, you know, don't OD on wrestling. I hope all the folks in the chat room don't OD on wrestling. I mean, and if not, take a vacation from it for a day. I'm trying to think of what day of the week. Thursday. Well, no, Impact's on Thursday. So, you know, if you find time to catch your breath, but hopefully there'll be some things that will blow our brains, you know, like something that's like, whoa, I didn't expect that. I mean, really, that's all you can hope for, you know? I mean, you know, because what the research we do and everything, we do know a lot of things that are going to happen, but we can't guarantee anything. I mean, Cody Rhodes is happening. Yeah. But I mean, hopefully there's some surprises, you know, I'd love to see some. So you guys have any other closing thoughts?
Stay just caffeinated.
Yeah. I mean, along those lines, it's a fault of WWE and AEW and a bunch of these other shows that I just think there is that element of like expected surprise where if you don't deliver on stuff that you haven't even really announced, people are going to be disappointed. Imagine if CM Punk hadn't shown up at AEW that night in Chicago. Imagine if Cody doesn't show up this weekend, or if Steve Austin and Kevin Owens is a quick little letdown segment or something. I think they'll deliver. I think they've been pretty much, you know, I think we're confident enough that most of that stuff is actually going to happen this weekend. But they're in a tricky situation where they kind of have to deliver, even though it's not entirely their fault that everybody's expecting certain things to happen that they're not really advertising. So
you are correct. They'll claim that too if people are you know, start bad mouthing them on social media, you know. So okay, guys, that's our WrestleMania show. I want to thank everybody for listening. Thank everybody in the chat room. Thank you, George. Thank you, Rennie. Thank you, Mike, all you guys out there. And man, I hope you have a great WrestleMania. We're gonna have a lot to talk about. Maybe there'll be some big surprise. I don't know. You know, I mean, hope maybe we'll get to see the Steiners tag again. No. We don't need to see.
No.
But yeah, I think we'll be impressed by Steve Austin. I think we're gonna get Cody tonight and Steve Austin tonight. So hey, everyone, have a great WrestleMania weekend. Thank you guys, and I know we have a life, so we gotta go on. Enjoy NXT and maybe take a nap between NXT and WrestleMania tonight, and you'll be good. So we'll see you next week, folks.
See ya.